From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, starting from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, we will play Indonesian songs. Well, listener, I will begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz, 4750 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Sidoarjo has 349 village-level voluntary command posts to fight corona. Coronavirus, why Denmark taking steps to open up again? Now the news in details. Sidoarjo district in East Java province has 349 village-level voluntary command posts to assist the local government in containing the spread of the novel coronavirus disease 2019 or COVID-19. Chief of the Sidoarjo District Police Senior Commissioner Sumarjo on Saturday said that the command post task is to check the health of people coming from outside the village. Each of the command posts is equipped with an isolation room and protective gear. He expressed the hope the command posts would report any COVID-19 related issues to the Sub-District Leadership Communications Forum and the District Leadership Communications Forum for Kopimda. Denmark is about to make its first move to relax restrictions imposed to fight coronavirus. From Wednesday, children age 11 and younger return to schools and nurseries after a month of closures. It's among the first European countries aiming to put the lockdown into gradual reverse, just as it was one of the first to impose restrictions. The spread of coronavirus appears to be under control and the government wants to get the economy going again. Compared with other European countries, Denmark was an early mover. A raft of restrictions was announced on March 11, 12 days before measures were introduced in the UK. Gatherings have been limited to 10 people, the workforce told to stay home, and the borders shut. There is no stay-home order. Although bars, gyms, and hairdressers are closed, many shops remain open. Health data suggests Denmark's efforts are paying off. Some 6,000 cases and 260 coronavirus-related deaths have been recorded up to April 11. Crucially, total numbers of hospital admissions and patients in intensive care have fallen since the beginning of the month. The UK will send £200 million sterling in aid to help developing nations battle coronavirus, International Development Secretary Anne-Marie Trevelyan said. Boosting fragile health system overseas will help prevent a second wave of infection hitting the UK. The latest donation brings Britain's total contribution to the global efforts to halt the pandemic to £774 million sterling. It makes the UK one of the biggest donors to the worldwide fight against the virus, according to the Department for International Development. Retained funding will help install new and hand-washing stations and isolation and treatment centers in refugees camp and increase access to clean water for those living in areas of armed conflict. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. India has decided to extend a strict nation lockdown imposed last month to stop the spread of the coronavirus. On Saturday, Prime Minister Narendra Modi held a video conference with state ministers, and many of them urged the government to prolong the measures. Delhi Chief Minister said Modi had agreed to extend the lockdown due to end on Tuesday, without giving details. There are concerns about how the curbs are affecting the poor and the economy. The spread of the virus has been varied in India, with some states seen bigger jumps in cases despite the shutdown. Millions of migrant workers have been left jobless, with the poorest suffering most. India has confirmed 7,600 infections and 249 deaths, according to a tally by US-based Johns Hopkins University, which is tracking the disease globally. The true figures, however, are thought to be far higher. The United States surpasses Italy on Saturday, April 11, as the country with the highest reported coronavirus death toll, recording more than 20,000 deaths since the outbreak began. The grim milestone was reached as President Donald Trump mulled over the country, which has registered more than 500,000 infections, might begin to see a return to normalcy. The United States has seen its highest death toll to date in the epidemic, with roughly 2,000 deaths a day reported for the last 4 days in a row, a plurality of them in and around New York City. Trump also said he wants life to return to normal as soon as possible, and that the measures aim at curbing the spread of the COVID-19 disease caused by the novel coronavirus carry their own economic and public health costs. Over the last month, the Zoom video conferencing services has emerged as the communication lifeline of the coronavirus pandemic, but the convenience fueling Zoom's explosive popularity has come at a price. Originally a service meant for business, Zoom was designed to make it easy to company employees, sales representatives and clients to hop on meetings. When consumers flocked to the video platforms for schools and socializing, however, those conveniences also made it easy to hijack video conferences and harass participants in online attacks known as Zoom bombing. On Wednesday morning, Zoom announced that it had formed a council of chief information security officers from other companies to share ideas on best practices. Eric Yuan, chief executive of Zoom Video Communications, said in an interview on Tuesday evening that his greatest regret was not recognizing the possibility that one day Zoom might be used, not just by digitally savvy business, but also by tech neophytes. 4 months ago, Zoom was a niche business tool with 10 million daily users, many of them working in offices or at home. Today, it has emerged as a fundamental online utility with 200 million daily users. As the region bunkers down amid the pandemic, sales of comfortable clothes, worked-out attire, and lingerie have surged, according to luxury e-commerce sites. With countries across the Asia-Pacific APAC in total lockdown or under restricted movement orders, and citizens encouraged to work home and stay indoor, consumers have returned to online portals in droves to stock up on snug loungewear, self-care products and other creatures' comforts to line their wardrobes and feather their nest. Sites like Annette Porter have witnessed a surge in sales of track pants, sweatshirt, lingerie and homeware, according to statistics from the week of March 16. Annette Porter's global buying director Elizabeth von der Goltz said, as the world contends with new social norm of staying in and working from home, it is only natural that women's preferences have evolved to reflect this change. That was the news. I'm Nuku Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Point 7 Indonesia in Jakarta with highlight of the week on large-scale social restriction status for Jakarta. The Minister of Health, Terawan Agus Putranto, established the status of large-scale social restriction for Jakarta province. The decision was made on April 7, 2020, through a decree of the Minister of Health in the context of accelerating the handling of the coronavirus or COVID-19. Jakarta Governor Anies Baswedan had proposed the establishment of large-scale social restrictions to the Minister of Health on April 1, 2020. After an epidemiological study and consideration of the preparedness of the Jakarta's area in social, economic, and other aspects, it was decided by the minister to be carried out. Minister of Health Terawan on Tuesday said there had been a significant increase and spread of COVID-19 cases in Jakarta. Restrictions framework include closing schools and workplace, on religious activities or other activities in public places or facilities, including socio-cultural activities. There are also restrictions on modes of transportation and other activities, specifically related to defense and security aspects. Furthermore, the DKI Jakarta provincial's government is obliged to implement the large-scale social restriction and consistently encourage and disseminate clean and healthy lifestyle to the community. It is carried out during the longest incubation period and can be extended if there is still evidence of the spread. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Task Force for the Acceleration of COVID-19 Handling, Doni Monardo, in Jakarta, on Tuesday, stressed that coordination and the same views between the central and regional governments in the large-scale social restrictions are imperative in stopping the spread of COVID-19. To ensure this, the task force with the Ministry of Health developed a reference protocol for the regions in implementing the large-scale social. If the protocol is implemented, differences in views between the center and the regions do not occur. He stressed the regions must have the same steps. Regions are also prohibited from issuing regulations that contradict national policies. There must be no access closure. Ease of access for the community is still given by taking into account physical distancing. If anyone ignores instruction related to the large-scale social restrictions, Doni stressed that strict legal actions will be taken. DKI Jakarta Governor Anies Baswedan in a press conference at the city on Tuesday said, the large-scale social restrictions effective starting on Friday, April the 10th, 2020. Anies Baswedan realized that the coronavirus outbreak needed to be controlled because it was spread from people to people. He added that the restrictions would be valid until 20th of April 2020 and could be extended. Listener, that was highlight of the week. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History will begin with April 12, 1912, the birth of Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX. April 12, 1912 was the birthday of Gusti Raden Mas Doro Jatun or Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX. He was a sultan who had led the Yogyakarta Sultanate since 1940 to 1988 and was the first governor of Yogyakarta Special Region after Indonesian independence. He served as the second vice president of Indonesia between 1973 and 1978. He was also known as a father of Indonesian scouts and had served as chairman of the National Scout Movement. Moving on to April 12, 1961, when Yuri Gagarin becomes the first human into space. On April 12, 1961, Gagarin was the first man to fly for 108 minutes into space with a Vostok 1 rocket. He received many awards and honorary medals, including the Hero of the Soviet Union Medal. Yuri Gagarin later became deputy training director at the Cosmonaut Training Center outside Moscow. In honor of his services, this training venue was later named after him. I'll include with April 12, 2013, when the first Bring Food From Home Day. The first Bring Food From Home Day was launched by a well-known household equipment company in Indonesia. The national campaign was started on April 12, 2013. Together with the Minister of Health, the Minister of National Education and BPOM, the company established the National Bring Your Own Food Day campaign. This movement is a form of support to create a healthy environment and clean and healthy life behavior for students. In addition, this movement is also to maintain food security for school children. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Luis Nevado in Spain. He was listening to our broadcast in Spanish program through frequency 3325 kHz at April 9th, 2020 with SINPO 33333. Hello, Mr. Nevado. Thank you for being our regular listener. Referring to your reception report, we know that you were able to monitor our broadcast quite clear. Yes, it is useful for our technical division and the improvement in the quality of our broadcast. Your email has been forwarded to Spanish section. Please be patient to wait for the reply. As appreciation, we will play a beautiful song. Here is the song.
Cinta, mengapa kau menatapku dengan manja? Indah parasmu menghangatkan suasana. Hari pun semakin terasa berwarna. Dia segalanya, yeah. Bibirnya yang merah merona, indah senyumnya buatku terpana. Suara hatinya yang mempesona, buatku kehilangan kata. Ku berjalan menuju arahnya, melihat dirinya yang istimewa. Setiap langkahku menuju selamanya, yeah. Wajahmu, senyummu, hangat peluk tubuhmu. Kesamu, belaimu, membuatku selalu rindu. Lepaskan semua masalahmu, tinggalkan semua masa lalu. Berhenti, 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 hentikan waktu di dekatku. Cinta, mengapa kau menatapku dengan manja? Indah parasmu menghangatkan suasana. Oh, hari semakin terasa berwarna. Dia segalanya, oh yeah. Bibirnya yang merah merona, indah senyumnya buatku terpana. Suara hatinya yang mempesona, buatku kehilangan kata. Ku berjalan menuju arahnya, oh yeah. Dirinya yang istimewa, setiap langkahku menuju selamanya, yeah. Wajahmu, I just walk besides an epic creature. To be clear, you're my angel in disguise. Flawless beauty like the sun when it arises. Don't need no makeup, put your head down. Cause that beauty of yours make other girls frown. I wanna tell you that I love you, I need you, I want you, I cater for you, and I'm gonna be there when the sun is down.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today, Sunday, April 12, 2020, is on sports will raise people's spirits after the pandemic. Chairman of the House of Representatives Commission 10, Saiful Huda, believes the sports sector is able to arouse the spirit of the Indonesian people after the coronavirus pandemic or COVID-19 ended. Syaiful told Antara in Jakarta on Wednesday that sport would be a source of enthusiasm for the community and provide new hope for a better life. One sport that could be a motivation trigger, Syaiful Huda said, was football that could raise confidence. The festivity of returning football in the midst of society is believed to make Indonesia's mentality change. The sadness that comes from the COVID-19 pandemic will be replaced by optimism. Syaiful Huda said, Indonesia is currently struggling against the COVID-19 pandemic, which has begun since March 2020. The government, through a decree of the head of the National Disaster Management Agency, stated some kind of limited emergency status due to coronavirus outbreak from February 29, 2020 to May 29, 2020. If the government extends the emergency status period, the League 1 and 2 of Indonesian football competition in 2020 will be cancelled. Football in almost all corners of the world is currently being forced off because of the coronavirus pandemic, like many other sports. And listener, that was my Indonesia for today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we'll reply an email from our listener Muhammad Shamim in India. He was listening to our English program through frequency 3325 kHz on April 8, 2020. He told that our segment Music Corner was excellent and asked to keep it up. Hello Mr. Shamim, thank you for your attention to our broadcast. We are really sorry because at this moment, we cannot fulfill your request. But as information, you can find out our guide program or our schedule as your request at www.voinews.id. Thank you. Special for you, we'll play another beautiful song. Here is the song.
Ku mau tahu seberapa besar rasamu. Jangan biarkan rasa hati ini membeku.
service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's Indonesian wonder, I will introduce you boy cake, which is a snack from Aceh. When you visit Aceh and are tired of going around enjoying the beauty of tourist attractions in the region, it's time to enjoy Acehnese culinary. One of typical Acehnese snacks is kue boi, which is originated from Aceh Besar, but widely known and popular all over Aceh province. The shape of this snack or cake is varied, such as the shape of fish, stars, flowers, and others. In Acehnese, boy means sponge cake. Sometimes there are those who call it boy ungkot, which means fish sponge cake. But despite its name, its raw material is not fish. From flour, sugar, and eggs. According to one of Aceh's souvenir sellers, there are differences between boy produced in Aceh Besar and North Aceh. Boy from Aceh Besar has a large, soft texture on the outside and inside, while boy produced in North Aceh has slightly more crisp texture on the outside but soft on the inside. Whatever it is, boy's soft textures makes this cake delicious to enjoy with a cup of coffee or hot tea. Usually, people will dip it in coffee or warm tea before eating. Boy sponge cake is also customary to be brought when someone visits relatives or neighbors who are having a celebration or party, such as circumcisions or birth. Boy cake is also used as one of the contents of a parcel brought by the prospective groom to the bride at the time of the wedding. In general, the entire surface of a sponge cake has a soft texture, but boy is slightly different because it is baked with a special mold until the outside texture is dry, but inside it remains soft. If you want to find this unique sponge cake, you can go to a traditional market or specialty shops that sells typical Acehnese cakes, such as the Aceh Market, Setui Market, and shops that line the streets of Lampisang, Lok Nga, and Aceh Besar. Most people in Aceh make their own boy cakes when there are major events and festivities such as weddings, memorials for the dead, Idul Fitri, and Idul Adha. Although the ingredients are classified as simple, but it requires patience and perseverance to produce a perfect boy cake. Nowadays, boy cake is a very popular souvenir from Aceh, because in addition to its distinctive taste, the price is relatively cheap. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder with the topic of kue boi, a snack from Aceh. So when you're in Aceh, don't forget to get this boy cake as a souvenir. I'm Nika Kusumati, thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you in the next editions of Indonesian Wonder.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Now we'll reply an email from another our listener, Tony Ashar in Depok, Indonesia. He was listening to our broadcast in Japanese and English program through frequency 4750 kHz. Hello Mr. Tony Ashar, thank you for your reception report. I think your place is not far from our office. If you have free time, please come to our office. Thank you. As appreciation, we will play another beautiful song for you. Here is the song.
Lapisan tipis air yang beku sentuhan lembut kan hancurkan aku. Walaupun cinta yang sempurna menghampiriku seketika, ku ingin kau tahu betapa rapuhnya.
Terluka, luka, mas bekas, luka, buat sesuatu.
Listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Hello listener, welcome back to Miscellany. This edition is about Gajah Mada University or UGM Yogyakarta holds a creative content competition for stay-at-home experience. One way to reduce the spread of the coronavirus is by reducing activities outside the home, doing more activities at home, or stay-at-home movements. For this reason, Gajah Mada University Yogyakarta held a creative content contest themed at home. This contest is not only intended for the UGM academic community, but is also open to the general public. Contest, both the UGM community and the general public can send their stories of various experiences at home during the COVID-19 pandemic. They can also share how to live a healthy lifestyle while at home, like sunbathing, doing exercise at home, washing hands, eating healthy food, and others. UGM Head of Public Relations and Protocol Eva Aryani said that the competition aimed to fill the time and overcome the boredom of undergoing physical distancing. Besides, this creative contest can explore creativity and knowledge about COVID-19 so that academics and the general public can become ambassadors of COVID-19 mitigation for their environment. Content contests are divided into four categories, namely writing, creating memes, vlogs, and posters. In addition, a healthy lifestyle contest was also held when at home, and each version could be in the form of pictures or videos. This contest is fighting for prizes of tens of millions of rupiah. The terms and conditions for the creative content contest can be seen in more detail through the UGM Instagram account at ugm.yogyakarta and the Gajah Mada University Facebook. For the writing, poster, meme, and vlog category, the files must be uploaded not later than April 30, 2020. Meanwhile, for the Healthy Lifestyle Content Contest, the deadline is April 15, 2020. Announcement of the winners of each contest will be posted on Instagram stories, FB, and DM. In addition to eliminating boredom, this contest can also foster creativity, tell a variety of experiences, and encourage each other when facing the coronavirus pandemic. And the bonus is a decent prize for the lucky participant. Listener, that was Miscellany for today. We will meet again tomorrow with more interesting information. I'm Putri Safitri Adela. See you next time.
Hari demi hari telah ku lalui, hanya menunggu dirimu. dan binara telah ku nyanyikan lantunan melodi jiwaku. Langkah demi langkah telah ku jalani untuk gapai cintamu padaku. Kata demi kata telah ku tuliskan puisi cintaku padamu. Telah ku nyanyikan lantunan melodi jiwaku. Hanya dirimu yang aku cinta, hanya dirimu yang aku sayang. Tiada yang lain di hatiku, selamanya hanyalah dirimu. Selamanya hanyalah dirimu. Ternyata kamu juga cinta, cinta kamu juga sayang.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we will discuss the work by late Glenn Fredly. On April 8, 2020, one of the Indonesian talented musicians, Glenn Fredly, passed away. During his lifetime, he was known as a singer, songwriter, producer, and actor. His works have enlivened the Indonesian music scene since 1995. Months before, Glenn released his last single, Selesai. The song is about the story of a person who has an extraordinary love for someone from the past. The feeling is keep flaming and growing. The single Selesai is one of the songs taken from the album Romansa ke Masa Depan, which was released in 2019. The song was produced by Andy Rianto. Well, listener, here is Glenn Fredly with the song Selesai.
Jalannya kenangan sekilas melesatkan angan. Sungguh benar adanya cinta lama, jangan dilawan. Tak mungkin ku menepis bayangan bila memang semua datangnya begini. Kangen kamu, sungguh hati bicara. Aku kangen kamu meski jauh. Kangen kamu, pikiranku ke kamu. Rasa ini tak pernah selesai. Cinta lama jangan dilawan. Oh, tak mungkin ku menepis bayangan bila memang semua datangnya begini. Dalam sepi ingat kamu, di tengah ramai ingat kamu, kamu di langkahku. Waktu berulang di kisah berbeda, namun cintaku berharap.
Of Indonesia.
Siapa yang benar salah? Siapa yang Voice of Indonesia.
It is time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id for shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions and 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to VOI at voinews.id. I'm Putri Safitri Adela. See you on the next English program.